And welcome to the show. This is Paul Nichols, the Investor Coach. I hope this finds you well. You're listening to It's Your Money, the financial podcast that pulls back the curtain on the financial services industry and exposes the truth about money and investing. Hope this finds you well today. We're coming to you again with our weekly podcast. We're back on track again. I know I was a little remiss. Is that the right word, Deb? Deb Seward is joining me, another Investor Coach.
Yeah, we got a little lackadaisical there for a while. We were busy with other opportunities that were happening at the moment.
I notice you always say good morning when we start a show.
It is morning.
They could be listening to it at any time.
Well, that's true.
Okay, yeah. Hey, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, I hope this finds you well. Hope you're having a great day. We are coming to you this week again with a follow-up on our basic series we started, just kind of getting people on track for the new year as it relates to budgets and finances and a proper frame of mind, which hopefully, regardless of your situation, is on the abundant side, the half full side, so to speak, because we do believe in abundance. We believe in an academic approach to investing, and we believe in focusing on the end game, right, Deb?
That is correct. We always look at what the end game is and work backwards from that.
That's correct. Now, ladies and gentlemen, the last 2 weeks we had a couple assignments, maybe a little homework for some
homework.
Of you. A 30-day challenge. I hope you took that. If you have not listened to that one, it's a brief 10-minute podcast. It talks about a 30-day challenge a very successful gentleman laid on me about 20-some years ago, which I had done and was quite revealing as it relates to where my dollars, dimes, nickels, and pennies went. The next week, we talked about needs versus wants. You want to do a recap of that, Deb?
Yeah, we have to often look at what your need budget is, and what we mean by that is looking at what you absolutely need to live on day in and day out as it relates to regular monthly bills, groceries, gas, heating energy for your home, and et cetera. So we all have a needs budget that we need. And on the flip side of that, then there's things that we would like to do or want to build into that budget, but it may not be an everyday occurrence, whether that's gifts or a vacation or a tithing or a charity, what have you. So there is a difference. We like to work towards your wants budget, obviously, but we need to know what your needs and what you need to live on before we can get to the wants number.
So basically, the last couple of weeks, we talked about a budget, kind of where, not really a budget, but where your money goes. The next week, we talked about the two different types of budgets that one might set up. And I want to talk about bridging the gap today, Deb, between that needs and that wants budget. And I think the best way to do that, and I don't know if this applies to you, but I my first bicycle story would probably be a great kind of frame for what we're talking about. Did you have a goal when you were a young girl that was kind of your thing, a horse or I know you were on a farm, so I don't know. Did you have bicycles?
Yeah, we did live on a farm, and because we lived on a farm, we lived so far out of town, and nothing was really within walking or biking distance. So for me, that was the car, Paul.
Okay. So, when you start thinking about your car, did you pay for your car or did someone else?
What happened is my parents paid for the car, but I had to pay them back.
Okay.
So that was responsibility that they laid on me at that time.
All right. Well, let me go even more basic than that and talk about my first bicycle, or the first one I recall. I mean, I had bicycles before this, but the first one that I bought, it was a Schwinn Scout. I'll never forget it. Okay. And, was it a Huffy Scout? I forget now. It must have been a Huffy Scout. That's what it was. Remember a bicycle company called Huffy?
I do remember.
Okay, well, I don't know if they're still around or not, but they made pretty good bicycles. Anyway, it was right at $100 at Kmart. I think I was 13, 14 years old, and I worked on that the whole summer. We lived out west at that point, and I remember just calculating over and over again, okay, now I need this much, and there was sales tax on top of that, and my dad... was a builder, a contractor type guy, and so I would work with him and make a few bucks here or there, or I would mow some lawns or do some kind of odds and ends for neighbors, whatever I could do. One thing I used to do a lot, and you can't do anymore, I don't think, is go around and collect Coke bottles. Did you ever do that when you were a kid?
No, today it's aluminum cans if you collect enough.
Well, yeah, I'd actually go door to door. This is in California, outside of L.A. there, and basically door to door and ask people, hey, do you got any bottles? And a lot of times I'd say, hey, look under your sink. You might have some bottles. This was back when bottles had a deposit. I don't know if any of you remember those days.
5 cents or something.
Yeah. So anyway, my point is that, you know, there's three types of money out there, right, Deb? We want to talk a little bit about this. There's accumulated money.
Yeah, Paul. And that would be money that you have already saved for something in the future or that...
Your nest egg.
Or you currently have invested. Right, your nest egg in general.
Your life savings, so to speak, okay? Your accumulated money. This is what you've accumulated, okay? Now, we're not going to talk about managing that today. That's another issue, but that's one type of money. There's another type of money that's called lifestyle money, and that's kind of what we've been talking about. Really.
Right, we've been talking about what we need to live on. What kind of lifestyle do you want to lead, and what kind of money or income does that take to support that lifestyle?
And what kind of choices do you want to make as it relates to that? Do you want premium cable, basic cable, no cable, internet, Netflix? What is it that, you know, ways that you found to budget your money? And you don't know that until you do the 30-day challenge, find out what your needs and wants budget is, and then start to focus on these three types of money, the accumulated money, the lifestyle money, and then the last bit of money, which is what I want to kind of focus on a little bit today, and that's the transferred money. Now, that would be monies that most of us unwittingly, unknowingly, and unnecessarily transfer away. It could be in the way that we fund our retirement. It could be in the way that we deal with debt. It could be in the way that we do college funding. It could be as simple as basically how we save any extra money at all.
That's right.
So this transferred money, that's a whole show unto itself. We're not going to get into that too deep. Outside of to say, there are dollars out there that most Americans are transferring unnecessarily. And what they have happening, a friend of mine, Lynn Rainier, coined this. I thought it was wonderful. They're creating unintentional consequences.
That's right.
Unintended consequences is what they're creating, and that is the way they pay for their cars, the way they fund their IRAs. It's interesting to me how someone will, you know, that most people, Deb, accumulate less money in their life savings than the money that they've paid on interest just to get back and forth to work on the vehicle that they own.
I know, that's terrible.
Most people don't really realize there's different ways to do things, and most of the rules right now have not been set up by you and I.
Right.
I mean, who
it's
makes the
industry.
Rules?
Yeah, it's
the industry. I mean, insurance companies, banks, the government, etc. Who makes the rules? Who teaches them?
No one teaches them.
You know, so basically, we're going to give you a little bit of hope today. That's our intent, by basically saying you want to increase your lifestyle. The first place to start, besides obviously being a good steward of your accumulated money, hopefully through proper investments, etc. But a good place to start is to stop any hemorrhaging. I mean, if you had a bucket that had holes in it and you were trying to fill up the bucket, what would be different ways you could fill up the bucket?
Well, with income.
No, say a bucket. You had a bucket with, a couple holes in it. You're trying to fill up the bucket in a real simple
analogy. Oh, you mean to plug the holes.
Well, you could plug the holes or you could put more in.
Right. That's really your two options.
You know, I've always thought, you know what's interesting to me? Consistency. I heard a gentleman speaking one time and he made a point. He said, you know, water dripping will bore a hole through marble if it does it long enough.
That's right.
You know, and it's consistency. It's gradually. So anyway, the transfers are little things that you may need to get some coaching on, how you're funding your IRAs. Does it make sense to defer taxes? Have you really analyzed where you're going to be later? How do you pay for your cars? I mean, is it preferred debt or non-preferred debt? In fact, we're going to talk about that next week, Deb, the difference between preferred and non-preferred debt. Because once we have the 30-day challenge, your needs and wants budget, we've talked a little bit about transferred money versus lifestyle money. Now we need to get into understanding concepts and the rules related to debt in today's economy.
And I think, Paul, it's good to note here that a lot of people that we work with, that we start talking about these different types of money, they immediately think, oh my God, I don't have extra money from my budget to be putting towards retirement or a car or what have you. And by taking a look at these transferred dollars, we find that we can redirect some dollars that does not affect their lifestyle at all.
Yeah, in fact, I just had one client recently, a through a couple simple maneuvers. I think he did a refi at a very good rate. Less than he was, he picked up on the same payoff time, about $600 a month. He was able to put that toward a couple bills, get those things squared away, and kind of catch up on a little bit of college funding. So, I mean, this is money that was found.
That's right.
Found now, we're not always going to find that, ladies and gentlemen.
That's
You know, but we got to realize it kind of ties in with finding transferred money and also kind of setting a goal. There's a gentleman in my office, a young man who recently graduated from Penn State, the Smeal College of Business, with honors on the dean's list, and he's getting started in the industry, and he was admiring a car. He's kind of a car guy, okay? And I said, well, what kind of car do you want? And he told me, and he has a nice car now, but he would like to take it to another level. And I said, well, what do you think that is? And that's probably X amount of dollars. It may be $300-$400 a month for a car payment, you know, on a 3 or 4 year note and something like that. Wow. I mean, what he thought at first was, here's this car that's unattainable. But when you start breaking it down and say, well, look, if you worked an extra 5 hours this month, or you know what I'm saying?
I do know. And that's when you start talking about the begin with the end in mind and work backwards. Like,
right.
If that's what you want, how do we pay for it, or how do we take care of it?
Well, and if you were really motivated, I mean, he might say, hey, you know what, I'd like to work maybe a part-time job on Saturday on the weekends to pick up the extra $400 a month to buy the car. So, you know, once you realize where you are, ladies and gentlemen, and realize what you need to live on and what you have to work with, then you can make very good, solid plans as it relates to moving forward in an incremental manner, making progress toward whatever that end is for you. You know, this stuff doesn't have to be that complex, Deb. I will have to say that you really do need to apply some common sense. Now, I realize my grandfather used to say common sense isn't all that common.
That's true.
But we got some common sense, and we know some people that have some common sense in the different areas of investing, whether it be, you know, how to deal with income or how to manage your assets academically or how to deal with these wealth transfers and how to recoup some of that or how to deal with taxes. I mean, these are the kind of things. Think about it on a side note. If you were able to recoup all the interest and a good part of the taxes you've paid in your life, how much more money would you have, Deb?
Oh, wow. Hundreds of thousands, I'm certain.
You think about that. You know, transfers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what a lot of people never think of is my wife. She's becoming a wonderful steward of her money in the last 21 years now. But I would have to say, when we first met, that wasn't so. And she would agree with that today. But one of the things I had mentioned to her that really helped her, we had done all these exercises I'm sharing with you on these podcasts, but I said, you know, she likes to, her love language is gifting. I don't know if you ever read the book, The Five Love Languages, but we all have different languages, different ways that
we show how we care.
Yeah, appreciation, etc. Hers happens to be gifts. You know, she likes to buy gifts and little thoughtful things for people and trinkets and these types of things, which is cool and wonderful, compassionate, and so on and so forth. However, I have to remind her every so often, you know, every dollar that we spend, and I don't mean on trinkets for friends as much as kids' toys. That's one of my pet peeves, okay?
Yeah, they get enough, don't they?
They get enough. They get plenty. You know, it's funny. Oftentimes, they play more with the box and the toy.
Or the pots and pans.
I mean, it's crazy. Anyway, I lost my train of thought there. Where was I going?
The dollar that she would save.
A dollar that she would spend today would be $3 we're not going to have in 25 years from now. This is called opportunity loss. And, you know, it's interesting, but a lot of people have never thought about that concept. But, you know, the banks and a lot of the institutions don't want you to be thinking along this line because you just start to become a better steward. Knowledge is power. If you knew the rules, could you maneuver the financial landscape better?
Absolutely.
No question about it. So, anyway, any other thoughts you wanted to add? I want to kind of tie this up right now, Deb, by mentioning that basically what we're talking about is 30-day challenge, need versus wants. Now we're talking about what is the difference between the needs and the wants lifestyle, and what is that number monthly, weekly? I mean, let's say you said, you know, if we had an extra $5,000 a year, that would really take our lifestyle, you know, accomplish some of the things we want to accomplish, whether it be saving or spending it on lifestyle, whatever that is. And a lot of people have never thought in those terms and said, well, what could we do?
Right. And I think it's just important to take a look at what money you are currently saving and what you have currently invested, but also what lifestyle that you want to live in the term of dollars. And as take a look at transferred money to see if we can take any redirection of money that may be able to help you out to either put that towards lifestyle or towards future savings.
And your accumulation bucket. You know, it's interesting. We'll end on this note. By the way, this is Paul Nichols, the investor coach, joined by Deb Seward. We're part of Financial Abundance, a registered investment advisory firm in Happy Valley, Pennsylvania. That would be State College, Pennsylvania, right in the center of the state. We do business all over the country. We have listeners all over the country. We hope this finds you well. If you have any questions and want to dial us up directly, just dial 866-867-5745. That would be our main office here in State College. The thought that I wanted to leave you with today is a thought a gentleman shared with me probably 25 years ago, and it's one of those wives' tales, if you will, one of those truisms, one of those kind of good old horse logic, so to speak, and that is that everybody's broke at a different level.
That is so true.
You know, think about when you first got out of high school or military or whatever your thing was. You might have been making my first job, 1978 or 7 or something, 1970, whatever it was. I think I was 15 years old. Wonderland in Amarillo, Texas, $1.50 an hour. It was an amusement park. That was my first actual W-2'd employment. And you start to think about, man, I was in it, bro. I was in high cotton, as they say down south. I mean, I was rolling in it compared to my friends. I was the first guy to get a car. You know, you get out, I got out of the military, you make a little more money. You go to school, get out of school, you make a little bit more money. You know, you so on and so forth. And what I've noticed with a lot of people is they're just broke at a different level. The only difference between a couple that's making $150,000, $200,000, $300,000, $400,000 a year and somebody making $25,000, $30,000, $40,000 a year is their lifestyle. They're just broke at a different level. It's a bigger house. It's a nicer car. It might be, you know, going to fresh fish instead of frozen. Whatever the thing is, you know what I mean? We all have to deal with whatever our situation is. We have to deal with the hand we're dealt. But I will say that it's a very interesting dynamic that we're broke at a different level. It doesn't really matter how much money you make. I think everybody...
If you make it, you spend it, as they said.
You know, they have the same situation. So anyway, that's a observation that I've made. Would you concur?
I would agree with that.
Well, anyway, we hope this finds you well. This is, again, Paul Nichols, the investor coach, pulling back the curtain on the financial services industry and exposing the truth about money and investing. We believe that education leads to clarity. Clarity leads to confidence that can manifest itself in peace of mind over your investments. Deb, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Hope this finds you all well. Hey, let's have a great new year.